a little crazy this morning, but we're here. Praise God. Could be worse. All right, so you can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I was preparing this sermon this week, and I think about Wednesday or Thursday, I read this. There was a Pew research study, and they had found that since COVID-19 hits, like what, April time frame or something, they estimate that 20% of the U.S. population has been dispersed. 20%. So Beck and I did the math the other day. That's like 66 million people that's been dispersed in the U.S. since COVID hit. I had no idea how many people were getting moved around. But we can probably assume, you know, when we think about, you know, how the economy, everything's shutting down, it kind of took a hit. You know, the natural disasters we've had, and of course the riots, I mean, as shut down businesses and ran people out and destroyed communities. I mean, all these things that are going on in these recent months, it's probably safe to assume that most of those 66 million people didn't move voluntarily. Amen. I mean, it's something's been done. And so the whole point is that I think this week, as I was preparing this, like, man, wow, this is really timely that this is where we are. So what do we do for, I mean, those people that are probably in our communities that didn't, you know, maybe didn't plan on moving, they had their life set, now they're around us, or people we know, and, well, I think what we do, so I'm asking you guys to do is there's a graphic here. If you go to our Facebook page, you'll see it. It says, you belong here. That's our message to them and to you, is you belong here. Actually, I'm going to ask you guys, if you are on Facebook, that you go and copy this message. Some of you already did. Some of you already shared it on your own Facebook page. That's our message to them. Those that are around us is like, hey, you belong here. Now, you know, in this church, we don't pressure people to be a member of this church. There's people coming there all the time, and we talk to them. As somebody came here through recently, and we talked to them about other churches where they can go to. They belong in a church. We've got issues with anxiety and stress and things going on all around us. Our message needs to be, you need to be in the church family, and you need to be cared for by God's children who are going to love you. And that's the same message I have for you this morning. I think that's the message the Bible has for us, is that you belong here. So that's what we're going to do, is spend actually the next several weeks, or actually next 3 weeks, if you will, talking about anxiety. We're going to go through what Jesus had to say about it in the book of Matthew. And just kind of seeing, like, what does this have to say? What did Jesus say to us about anxiety? I think it's important. I think it's timely. And we're going to take our time and just walk through it and see what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. So starting with that, if you guys will stand with me, we'll read what God's Word says, starting in verse 24, Matthew chapter 6. It says this, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for your precious word. I thank you, Father, that you have preserved this word for us today. Lord, I don't know where everybody is in their own lives, but Lord, I know this is an issue of anxiety and worry and stress is not something that is foreign to anyone. We all have seasons where our stress and our anxiety are even greater than they are usually. But Father, this is one topic that all of us can step up and listen to and understand and have meaning for. So Father, I pray that you will just bless us with the true meaning and your truth. Grant us your Holy Spirit, Father, starting with me, the words that come out of my mouth, but Father, for all of us and how we apply your words and your truth to our hearts. I thank you for your love that never fails. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Be seated. So we have, when we see here, in verse 24 and 25, now we take a look at this and we understand what we're getting here is we are getting led into and introduced to the main point of this section. Now, some of you may immediately recognize, like mine, say, well, this section headings actually starts before 25, and we started on 24. Well, there's a reason for that. If we look here and we at the way these sentences are structured, we know this wasn't the Bible wasn't written in chapter and verse. The Bible was written as letters, and we see here when we look at this is that the word therefore. Why do I always get that wrong color? The word therefore tells us that they are tying these two sections together. And the word therefore, what precedes that is actually the argument, but what follows it is actually the main point. So what we see the main point is, do not be anxious. Now, here's the interesting thing about that main point, is that in this section, Jesus actually says this five times. And the last time he mentions it, he says it twice. He may even say six. But at least five times, Jesus over and over talks about this point about being anxious. In 10 verses, Jesus brings it up five times. All right? This is important. And in those five times he brings it up, he gives nine arguments for his point. So it's amazing because Scripture gives us arguments. It proves its points, and Jesus has proven his point. And we're going to look at not all of the nine today. We're going to look at only the first three. But over and over again, here's the point. That is why even the very title of this mini-series, if you will, is Do Not Be Anxious. That is the point Jesus has for us, is do not be anxious. Now, that's a pretty tall order. Amen? I mean, how many of y'all can say, yeah, I can do that. No problem. I can be not be anxious. But we understand that this was what Jesus brought to us. Now, here's a couple of things about anxiety. One thing is that we know, and I'm not a psychologist or anything, but I mean, what I have read and gathered is we know that there is a chemical imbalance that causes anxiety. And long periods of stress or high stress will kind of change the body makeup, and you'll have this chemical balance, and you'll be maybe even go to a doctor, and you'll say, hey, look, you suffer from anxiety. Well, Jesus is not talking about that. Jesus is talking about, if for all of us, there's an emotional component to our anxiety. Here's why I bring that up. Because if you're hearing this this morning and you say, hey, this really doesn't apply to me because my anxiety comes from a chemical imbalance. The doctor told me so. No, there's an emotional side to your anxiety. This applies to everybody. That's my point. We live in a fallen, sinful world, and we know that in that fallen, sinful world, we deal with things. There's an emotional component to this, so this word this morning is for everyone. Secondly, is the word, the Greek word they use for anxiety, interestingly, could mean anxiety. The same root word also could mean care. Well, isn't that kind of how we do things? We can have a care, we can have this genuine care for things that maybe we should care about them, but that care gets out of balance and causes us anxiety. So our anxiety doesn't always come from things that are bad and evil. Sometimes our anxiety comes from things that are good, but yet we have these things out of balance, and it causes anxiety in us. The third point I would make, to me, is the most important point, and it is so valuable and so helpful to me, and it's something that Paul said in the letter to Timothy, is that all Scripture is God-breathed. Here's what that means. Not only is all Scripture have the authority of God, all Scripture is in the Bible because God wanted it there. 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave this sermon on the side of a mountain, and in that sermon, he chose to talk about anxiety, knowing that them and you and I are going to suffer with anxiety. This is a message for us. Here is what we can gather from the very fact that it's in Scripture, talks about this, is that God cares about your anxiety. God cares about your stress and the things you go through and the things you worry about. God knows and he cares. Jesus brought it up 2,000 years ago, and God made sure it was in Scripture so that we would benefit from it this morning. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that to me is so assuring. When I get into Scripture and I find where something is spoken of exactly, and I say, you know what? God put that there for a reason. God knows what I'm going through. God cares. And it's so reassuring for me. So what do we say? So there's the main point is do not be anxious. Now let's look at the first argument to that point. The first argument again is in verse 24. Now, a lot of times, verse 24, of course, says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So what we see is in this first argument. Now, oftentimes you'll hear this, it's kind of like a standalone, and it certainly works as a standalone verse about you know, our idolatry really is what it's talking about. The whole root of here, the root of that verse there is about idolatry, not loving money more than God. But how interesting is that when it was actually written, though it serves a good purpose for talking about idolatry, it actually was written, Jesus was saying it as a first argument leading into his topic about anxiety. Now that should mean something for us. In the fact that when we idolize things, when we get our hearts set on things, we idolize them, something we think is going to bring us joy and satisfaction, oftentimes, if not every time, it actually leads to anxiety. It doesn't give us what we think it should give us. It doesn't give us what we think we need or what we desire. But what is this actually saying? So how do we interpret this and think about, okay, what is God's point to us? And when Christ talked about this, this between love and, or made the point, you cannot serve God and money. But several years ago, I was at work, and I remember this guy come up, and it was a Saturday, and I don't know what I was doing working a Saturday. It must have forced me to be there if you got me on a Saturday. But anyway, I was there on a Saturday, and the guy, he knew he was a Christian, and he was challenging me on one of them things. You guys have probably heard before. He goes, and he just come right up to me and says, what are you doing here on a Saturday? I thought money was the root of all evil, so you're supposed to be a Christian. I said, well, it actually says money, the love of money is the root of all evil. So I appreciated him. He said it was a good answer. Well, thank you. I guess I appreciate you saying that. But that was, you know, so this is kind of what we're talking about. When we look at this, and we I think how we understand this, this is talking about our perspective. See, Jesus is laying out two different things for us. He's describing this battle that we have. On the one hand, we have God and the desires of God. And on the other hand, we have the desires of this world. And we know the desires of this world, and we desire things of this world. Usually what that entails is money. We need money to get the things of this world. So Jesus is holding these two things out and saying, you can't love both of these things. Now, certainly we understand that in this, it may not be money that we love. Maybe it's a worldly thing that we love, and we need money to get it. But still, at the root of that, at the heart of that, is money. So Jesus is laying these two things out for us, saying, like, here are these two things that don't belong together. You can't love both of these things. And when this becomes an idol, let's say the things of this world or money, the things you seek after, when that becomes an idol, you become enslaved to that. So Jesus says, you cannot serve God and money. It's not that money's a bad thing, but you can't becomes an idol, you begin to serve that. I got to make money to get the things that I want. It may be something as simple as hey, we like to go out to eat, or we like to eat well. So you know, as your money kind of increases, you like to eat a little bit better. Like, I really like steak, but let me tell you something, it's expensive. You can't always afford steak. Right? So I mean, some of this is just, it talks about, you know, like, what, you ever heard the term lifestyle creep? You ever heard that? Your lifestyle just starts to creep up more expensive and more expensive and more expensive, and then you kind of get a raise and your lifestyle continues to grow. And next thing you know, it's like, man, if I ever lose my job, I am in trouble because I'm just paying out the wazoo for stuff here. And so that's kind of how we kind of get ourselves into it's we see it as bettering ourselves, but at some point our priorities and our goals become pull us away from the things of God, and we're just so focused on this lifestyle and these things that we want, these material things, that our relationship with God suffers. And to that, Jesus says, you cannot serve God and money. So here was the first argument. What's argument number two? We see in argument number two, we start off with, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. He says, do not be anxious. But in here, the actual argument is made there at the end. The argument will be, is not your life more than food and the body more than clothing. So there is our second argument that Jesus gives us against that's supporting his argument to do not be anxious. And so again here we see here these two comparisons that Jesus is making. Of course, we see the one comparison is life versus food, and the other comparison would be body versus clothing. And he's saying, like, look, you look at these two different things, you understand these two different comparisons, and this is an argument for not becoming, having our priorities straight to prevent us and keep us from being suffering with anxiety. And it's not that he's saying these aren't important things. And maybe we even look at, here's an interesting thing. So when we think about this, when it says that this life and food, and we talk about the life and or food and clothing, I think it is an interesting argument to say these things are pretty important, right? I mean, food and clothing are pretty vital to our existence. And it would be a reasonable argument to say, well, if we don't have these things, we're probably going to die, right? These are important things. Food and clothing are very much essential. In fact, I remember a time Randall and I went camping. He's pretty young. I guess he's 11 or 12, whatever it is. And so it was like 19 degrees. It got down to 19 degrees that night. It was cold, right? Now, you learn about some essential stuff that you need when you're camping when it gets that cold. Now, one of the first essential things I learned that I need is make sure you put the water in the coffee pot before you go to bed, because in the morning when you want your coffee and it's frozen in this gallon jug, man, that's some hard times. That's first world problems, man. But I'll tell you something. You make that mistake one time, right? But the thing is, I mean, the right clothing is essential. And you know, preserving your food so you can consume it is essential. Now, in that case, we were there voluntarily. But there's some people that live, like, that's their life, right? They're homeless and they're out there in the cold. And, like, this is their daily struggle. So I think it's reasonable to say, hey, these things that Jesus pointed out, I'm a little confused by this, because this stuff is actually pretty essential. So what is Jesus talking about when he's comparing these things about food and clothing? Here's the point I think we need to catch, is what Jesus is saying is know what is more. What Jesus said was, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He's not saying that food and clothing don't matter. He's saying they just don't matter more, right? He's saying, he's talking about putting this thing in perspective. Understand this perspective about our life and about where we're going and why we're here and all these things we can look at, the things that maybe are essential, maybe are important, but we can get these essential things and focus so deeply and so earnestly on these essential things that we lose sight of God. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about keep your perspective where it needs to be. Now, why are we free to have our perspective not about such essential things? All right? So when Jesus tells us, hey, keep your perspective correctly, all right, where it needs to be, focus on the things that are more, and he's talking about, you know, focus on your life over food, and focus on your body over clothing, we are free to have those kind of perspectives. And why is that? Excuse me. All right. So why are we free to have that kind of perspective, to have those kind of perspectives? I got lost on my notes here. All right. I've been battling that cough for like 5 minutes. Finally came. All right, so when he's talking about, notice things that are more, and he starts talking about, to kind of paraphrase this, let me kind of back up a little bit, to paraphrase this, our highest concern should not be how we live, but rather how we live for God. So there's to kind of paraphrase that point, the second argument about realizing the things that are more and focusing on the things that are more. To paraphrase all that whole point is that we should, in our focus, in our perspective, our highest concern should be about, not about how we live, but rather how we live for God. And when we get that perspective out of order, then that's when we start dealing with anxiety, because we're not focused on how we should live for God. We're just focused on how we should live. And again, so that point is where we have this freedom to separate ourselves and not only focus on how we live. And why is that? I think why that is in the next argument, is the next verse. He gives us an example in verse 26. which says this, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? So when we read verse 26, what this reminds us is that we are free to not have to worry about food and clothing. Why? Because Jesus is telling us, look, God provides. He's going to provide for you. You don't have to worry about those things. Those things are important, sure. And when here's the thing about the birds. See, the birds, it's not like the birds aren't working, right? The birds go out every day and they look for food, right? But they go out one worm at a time and look for that food, right? Give us this day our daily bread. And that's what Jesus is talking about. So we have this freedom to not worry about where's our next meal coming from. God's going to provide for you. You do trust in God's provision, and that's how you live your life. That is what keeps you away from having this anxiety. All right, that's what keeps you and prevents you from trying to be consumed with this worry that your relationship with God suffers, is that you keep this perspective in correct order. And we have a freedom to do so. Now, let me just kind of stop there for a moment, because we also know that people do starve, right? I mean, we understand that. We understand, like people, the Bible even talks about people that starve. People who they do worry about the next meal. See, this is not a promise of saying, like, there's not going to be suffering and starvation in the world. We live in a fallen world. And we know that there are things that we're going to gain, or there's things we can count on through God. We also know that there is going to be suffering. We know there is starvation. What this is ultimately, as I put in your notes as well, is that what this is calling us to do is consider a relationship between the God and the birds. And we look at that relationship between God and the birds, and we think, well, this is the relationship like we need to have with God, right? So we look at this relationship where the birds just go out, they have do their thing during the day. Do they work? Absolutely they work. But they trust God to provide for them. And what Jesus is saying is that when we have this relationship between us and God, that is the kind of relationship that we're going to focus on. And that's the love and the provisions that we're going to focus on. And that will steer us away from this life of suffering with anxiety, because we have this relationship with God and we're trusting that relationship with God. But it very much is, in the reality of that, is understanding, like, you know, what if I do lose my house and my things? And what if I do find myself in a situation where I had to worry about the next meal? What Jesus is saying is, he's not saying these things won't happen. He's saying, look, if you want to overcome this kind of stress and anxiety, you need to focus on your relationship with God and just trust God. That's what he's telling us. So this is, all of a sudden, we understand a very hard truth that we have. I think sometimes in our thoughts of how Christian life should go, we do sort of tend to float a little bit towards that prosperity gospel. Well, if I'm living right, God's going to take care of me. If I'm living right, I'm going to eat well and be fine. I'll have a roof over my head. Well, that's just not the truth. In fact, there's some parts of the world that if you live right and you're living for Christ, you're going to find yourself murdered. Amen? This happens. We thank God are protected from a lot of that in this country, but that's not the reality for a lot of people. Because they're a Christian, they suffer. This is talking about making sure that we have the relationship with God is priority. We understand, like, that this is what ultimately what he's talking about. But we get it, through that relationship, we get a chance to see God at work. We get a chance to enjoy his provisions. When it says, look at the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So, when you have this, and in fact, I would even argue, like, when you are living, like, in poverty, right? Because there's times in my life, I mean, as a kid growing up, and, you know, we was okay. It wasn't, you know, impoverished, but I mean, we didn't have a lot of things. But, and then, you know, certain times as in our 24 years of marriage, I mean, those times, and Melissa and I was like, well, I don't know how this is going to happen, you know. I mean, we're not always doing great. I mean, we still have been blessed. We're wrong. There's people who have had it way, way worse than we have had. But it's in those moments that I've seen God sort of come through, and I'm like, wow, that was amazing what God just did there. You know, like a bill got paid or whatever happens. I mean, so I would even argue, like, when you are struggling and maybe things aren't going as well as you hope they would go, those are the moments you really get a chance to see God work. Those are the moments you really get a chance to see that where God says your heavenly Father feeds them. You get a chance to see these things happen and witness God in action in your life in those moments of despair or hope or maybe those times you're in the valley. You get a chance to see God working in your life. And to me, I think that's a blessing. But also you get a chance to just be secure in God's love. You get a chance to know that wow, God actually is coming through for me. I'm not on my own. I don't have to figure this out by myself. God actually loves me, and he's going to provide for me as he has been doing, and as I saw he just did. So we get a chance to live this relationship with God. But I think, you know, as we think about this and as we consider what the world would argue, what the world would say, we have, again, understand like this is not a simple thing. And we can't also arrogantly say, well, if we trust God and love God, everything's going to be fine. I think that's not the message we give anybody. And that's not the message we lean on. But as we continue begin to sort of look at this message about anxiety, I think ultimately that is where Jesus leads us first, is like, look, you get your perspective straight, understand what's most important in life, and that is God and the things of God, living for God. As we continue these next 3 weeks, what I hope you'll read ahead and you'll read these amazing things that Christ said about anxiety. But I think today this is enough. Actually, they've been starting a little bit, finishing a little bit early. That's okay. I think this is enough. I don't know where all of you guys are. Some of you, I kind of have an idea of your story. I don't, you know, where all of you are, but let me just say that, first off, anxiety is not a little thing. It's a big deal, right? I meet regularly with these pastors, and I did a couple weeks ago. It was Zoom, like everybody else, you know, meets. Like 15 pastors. I mean, most of that conversation, the last about an hour and a half, most of it was pastors talking about their worry and their concern for the emotional health of those under their care. And I can tell you, I share their worry. I mean, some of you in your stories, or some of you just on your face, I can see it's written on your face, like, man, you're stressed out and you're worried. Or people, maybe just people we know at where we work or the places we frequent. Anxiety is a big deal. I think the message for us is that we have an answer, and the answer is God and our relationship with God through Christ. But we also have a message, and that's the message for others that are suffering. Like, how am I going to make my way out of this darkness and out of this valley? Is we have this message. And so not only is this next 3 weeks important, I think, for our own emotional health, it's also important for our witness, because there are those out there that need to hear this truth. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, I pray for those who are suffering with anxiety. Father, I pray that they will hear your truth, not only with their ears, Father, but in their heart, they will know that you care. Lord, I pray that as we leave out here today, Lord, those who maybe are not having the greatest time, that they'll find someone that they can talk to, whether they call me or another brother or sister, but you'll surround them with people that will give them hope. But Father, I also pray that we will be attentive to those around us, that we will offer them hope. Father, be with all of us. I pray that we can glorify you in everything that we do, everything that we say, and go with us, Father, everywhere you send us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Would you please stand?